Last week, the BBC gave us a list of the eight top things that are helping people most during lockdown. They were one, socializing virtually, two, watching films, three, spending more time with the people you live with, four, exercising outside and inside, five, cooking, gardening, and reading, six, doing DIY or learning something new, seven, spending more on food or shopping, and eight, scented candles and log fires. Well, these are all great ideas, and I identify with spending more on food. But what's missing? What is lamentably lacking is the breath of God, is spiritual practice and prayer and resting in God. Maybe it's not part of the BBC's politically correct message to acknowledge that 25% of the population apparently have been to a church streaming service. And apparently, how to pray is one of the most Googled questions. This is the rising interest seeking information on prayer skyrocketed during the month of March. Jeanette Sinding Bentsen is a professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Copenhagen. Using Google Trends on searches for prayer for 75 countries, said she found search intensity for prayer doubled for every 80,000 new COVID cases. And that was part of a preliminary paper entitled In Crisis We Pray, released online for public comment. So we're living in a time, I believe, when we realize that as never before, the breath of prayer is vital to us. Breath, anyway, is vital for life, especially in COVID. We so realize that. My own mother, who's 93, is in hospital at the moment, not with coronavirus, thank God, but sometimes while talking on the phone, she will cough and not be able to breathe. And Anita and I can hear how dramatic and dangerous and frightening this is. Thankfully, she seems a bit better today. Please pray. But in an allegorical reading of the Song of Songs, chapter 4, this is all I've got for the Song of Songs from my Bible. It's one of my favorite books, as some of you may know. In this allegorical reading, we see this breath being asked for. Of course, we can read the Song of Songs as an earthy description of married love. The Bible is remarkable, truly, in being so enthusiastic about all these things. But the song can also be read allegorically. And in that reading, the bride of Christ is a garden locked up. And she asks for the breath of life. She says, "Awake, north wind and south wind, and blow on my garden." You know, and tonight I want to just say, would that be our prayer? There's another verse in the Song of Songs, chapter 1, where it says, "They made me take care of the vineyards, my own vineyard I have neglected." And in this season between Easter, before Ascension and Pentecost, I just want to encourage everyone to pray this prayer for the breath of God to come sweeping through the church with revival prayer power. We just believe this is an important word for the church. Last week I preached inside St. Aldate's in the morning service, where we have permission for the incumbent and one member of their family to enter the building, provided the doors are locked behind them. And from there, I spoke on the amazing passage from John chapter 20, where the doors are locked for fear behind the disciples. And Jesus comes in and says, "Peace be with you." And after he says this, he shows them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then he breathes on them and says, "Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit." So the disciples are existing with the doors locked. They remind us, of course, of us. Our doors are locked for fear of infecting other people or being infected, which is completely appropriate. There can be other fears, of course. The Song of Songs says you're a garden locked up. And it's into this reality of locked doors that something happens. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit can come into homes and speak peace. Jesus twice gives them this Eastern greeting, peace be with you. And the one who spoke as never man spoke, said nothing without meaning. He speaks into the state of mind of the apostles, into our state of mind. He spoke to them about the events of the last days and about their future ministry. And he says, peace and not blame. Peace and not fault finding. Peace and not rebuke. That's the first words this little company heard from their master's lips after he left the tomb. And the peace Jesus is speaking about is really peace with God, restored relationship and friendship with God. In the upper room, Jesus shows them his hands and his side, the marks of the cross, and then he breathes on them. And as I say, we just want to underline this for everyone listening. These three words from these passages, breathe, receive, and conceive ministry and mercy across our city and our families. Jesus breathed on his disciples and brought them back to life, just like in the garden. God breathed into humankind the breath of life, and man became a human being, a living being. And this verb is at the root of the prophetic picture that I believe is a picture for the whole church of the Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel 37, where the prophet says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these that they may live, just like the Song of Songs passage, really. And the coming of the Holy Spirit is like waking up of life from the dead. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, everything changes. Let me just give a little story. Someone wrote to me years ago after, you know, praying for the Holy Spirit one evening. Dear Charlie, I'm the man over whom the team prayed at the end of the evening on the 11th of April. You remember the one who received the gift of praying in tongues. Whereas I have to write this note by way of encouragement. I'm so filled with joy, I can hardly stop smiling. Whereas previously, I had to make the effort to make time for God, and I find myself praying all over the place. To be in the power of the Lord is just great. I'm experiencing other gifts of the Spirit, love, kindness, patience. My old cynical, never negative ways have left me. Life is so full of joy. And he ends up saying, life has a new meaning. God has a new meaning. Scripture has a new meaning. Yours in Christ, and then he signs his name. Breathe in the love of God. The website of the journal Psychology Today says this: our breath is our most life-affirming action. Not only is it the basest component of our physical life, but it can also serve to calm us, center us, and ground us. The simple task of breathing in deeply and exhaling slowly and gently can restore calm to a body on the verge of rocketing into space. And this is that, but it's so much more than that. How to breathe. I, every day, every morning, practice the breath of God, the prayer of recollection, calling stray thoughts home, the prayer of quiet, listening for what God is saying, and then breathing in union and communion with God. One of the people I love reading is Henry Nouwen. We're reading him a lot at the moment. And he says this: to be calm and quiet by yourself requires the discipline to recognize the urge to get up and go as a temptation to look elsewhere for what is really close at hand. Perhaps there will be fear and uncertainty when you first come upon this unfamiliar terrain, but slowly and surely you'll discover an order and a familiarity that deepens your longing to stay at home with yourself. And I believe that the church is having to stay at home with ourselves, and this is a fantastic opportunity to breathe. And then secondly, receive. The word for receive, labete. The Spirit is given, but we have to receive. We are called to receive, just like the young man I quoted earlier received. Christopher Landau, writing in one of the St. Aldate's journals, talks about the summer of 2010. In my final foreign assignment, I reported on church growth in China. And I hadn't prayed much during the trip. And I sat at the desk of my air-conditioned and soundproofed hotel room. I called up evening prayer on my laptop and spoke my prayers aloud. When it came to intercession, I felt I should kneel. And he writes this, as I began to pray, I can only really describe a process that felt like some sort of new internal operating system booting up for the first time. I heard myself pronouncing various strange sounds, all the while connecting with God at a new depth. For reasons that were really significant for me personally, I began singing in an unknown tongue with a vocal freedom unknown to me for years. God often surprises himself. God often surprises us, he says. And after being filled with the Spirit, there's no looking back. A life-changing journey begins. That's a kind of testimony from this leadership team. They receive, just like Jesus had received the Holy Spirit at his baptism and did amazing things. So we can receive. How do we do that? Well, it's a choice, I believe. It's the presence of God. You breathe in quiet stillness and you receive. I'm going to ask Anita now to come and join me. And then I'll conclude after she tells her story. Welcome.
Hello, hello everybody. Hello. Well, this is only one story you'll be glad to hear, because I think we should be meeting God many, many times in our lives, as many, as often as we possibly can. And it's been great to hear about, Jamie, great to listen to you talking about how we need to meet God at home and what a great opportunity this is for us. But one of my encounters with God took place a long time ago, but it did really change my life. And I was alone, and I began to listen to the Messiah. And when it came to the song which says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows," I turned it up really loud. I was by myself. And I think for the first time, I'd become a Christian probably about 5 or 6 months earlier. But that early bit was perhaps more in the intellectual level. And as I was listening to this, the reality of what Jesus did for us to save us must have just sunk into me in a completely new way. And I began to pray out loud and to thank him and to use every single superlative I could muster. But I ran out quite quickly of those. And then, just like in Christopher's testimony that we've just heard, I began to just utter a lot of strange syllables. It didn't matter because nobody was there to think how silly it sounded or whatever. And that really, I suppose, was the beginning of a language, a heavenly language, that's been with me ever since in times of stress as well as times of joy. But I think what changed for me in that encounter primarily was a renewal of hope and the future, and of joy. And I think that is what happens when we encounter God. And so I'm praying, that was a long time ago, but there's been many other encounters since then. Yeah. And my prayer is that everybody would have an encounter at home that, as Jamie said, will make us stronger when we come back together.
And that was behind closed doors.
It was really closed doors.
Without asking, in a way, but...
Well, kind of without asking.
It's mysterious.
But obviously I did open my mouth and speak. And I think God, I think there is, I was asking in my heart, actually, I was very anxious and desperate to meet with God.
Yeah.
So asking isn't always verbal.
Yeah.
Was I a Christian by then?
Maybe not. Maybe that's what I was asking. Maybe No, I think you were.
Just, yes.
And then
I
think so.
Thank you for sharing your story.
I'll go back to my computer. All right.
So breathe and receive. Even at home, you know, maybe you've experienced this in the past, or maybe you're a new Christian, but this is a time behind closed doors to receive the kiss of life, the kiss of God, and to say, blow into my garden, and all sorts of fruit and fragrance can be released. And that's the third thing that we see in this upper room passage. Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And he's commissioning them to turn the world upside down, as Acts 17 verse 6 says. It's a bit like Matthew 16 verse 18. You are Peter, on this rock I'll build my church. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's a kind of authority, a conceiving of new mercy ministries that comes. And let us in this season become waymakers and go to, by phone calls, Zoom calls, kindness, actions, whatever it might be. Let's be bold. Let's invite. Someone WhatsApped us this morning and said they invited three people who are not Christians during the live stream this morning to see it. Let's be proactive. But as I land, let's pray, and let's just open our hands or whatever you feel comfortable with. Lift your face to heaven, and let me, on behalf of us all, ask for God's Holy Spirit. Father, we come to you through Christ, and we want to ask you, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And we pray that you would breathe your loving spirit into every troubled breast. Mm. And we might inherit the kindness and the goodness of God at this time. And we want to pray that mighty power would come upon your church, and healing and deliverance and authority. And that in this moment, mercy ministries would be brought to birth, would be conceived for the future. We pray that in the night we would seek you, and in the day we would see you. We wouldn't miss this lockdown moment, but you would come into your church, the real presence of God in homes, for the glory of Jesus. Amen.